Hey, you're cute today. What are you doing?
Okay, well,
so you know, they all say names, and you know,
yeah, they're in the heat of the moment. Right?
Sure, it could have been one brother to another, probably because it was the Tarek Sins boys playing against each other last night, and one brother could have told their brother, you know,
you're cute.
You know,
views and opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or sponsors.
100.3 FM.
Welcome to Saturday Night Live for another week. You are here with Steve, Peter,
yes,
and Mad Mick.
Hello.
How's everybody doing?
Not too bad.
Hello. Hello.
Can I swear? Swear.
No,
I just swore on the thing.
No, you can't mix.
Yeah, it's been nice. I swear.
After last week's performance?
Yeah, I swear.
I'm surprised that you are here.
Yes, Mick.
No, I'm kidding. It was fine.
He did catch the train and he's only just got into the studio, so...
How can you catch a train? There's no trains this weekend, Tony. I read about it.
Trains exist? What are you talking about?
There's no trains this weekend. There's track work.
Yeah, it's not this weekend. You caught the one in the future.
This weekend, there's no trains, so I don't know.
There are trains.
Not this weekend.
I don't think the whole rail network's closed.
Oh, this way it isn't, so...
I'm sure you'll be fine. Yes, coming up on the program this week, we have a lot to talk about. The latest in sport. How's that going?
Religion.
And religion?
Mick's got religion, I guess, for...
Oh, look, it's Ellen!
And Ellen is here, surprisingly.
Hang on.
Hey, Ellen.
We'll get a seat. Hang on.
Hello, hello.
Got sports. Lots of sports happening,
sports,
of course.
Sports and TV and movies.
The Swannies won again in the top four. We'll talk about that soon. And much, much more.
Views and opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or sponsors.
100.3 FM.
The Swans, last night, they're the first team in AFL history to come from losing the first six rounds to actually being the top four. Now, they won last night just on the belt. They were, like, way behind, and they come back like they always do, right at the end, and then the top four for the time being. I'm not sure what the ladder is now, but in the NRL, South won again, but they will just won't miss. They will just... missed the top. So if they had won a few more games beforehand, they would have actually made it. So that's good. But take a look on Thursday night. Parramatta defeated the Titans 30-8. Broncos won last night over the Dragons 24-12.
Yeah, so who does Jarryd Hayne play for?
Titans.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's a bit of a kick in the bum for him, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the coach will probably be gone this week.
Yeah. I told you what Jarryd Hayne was going to be like at the beginning of the year.
I think the coach is gone, so, yeah, probably Monday or Tuesday. So it was either him or Jarryd, and you don't want to pay Jarryd out all those millions when it's easy for the coach to go. They both had a year to go, so... By the way, West Tigers are having a members' day and a fan day tomorrow at Kensington Stadium from 11 till 2. And I was going to go, but...
Where at?
It costs $10 to get in. I'm not going now.
I'm not
there. Damn you. Greg can go on his own. But I was going to go in there and have some photos done, but Greg told me it was $10. So, like, nah, I'm not going. It should be free.
What, just pay the $10 and support the local team?
No, they're not my local team. See, that's the best.
Peter, why don't you go as media?
I don't want to put... Yeah, but I haven't got a pass, have I?
I'll get you a press pass. All we have to do is take it off the toilet.
Nick Kyrgios won. He's going good now. He's starting to prove himself.
He's had his rest and build up.
He's had his rest and his...
Well, yeah, he's getting prepared for the US Open coming up.
Yeah.
And he wants to win it, hopefully.
Yeah, so...
He will win it if he doesn't do a spit of dummy.
What's happening there, and of course, the NRL, they players got, I think their salary cap is 9.6 or something.
Yeah, 9.6 is quite
But up. They still haven't decided their players.
Canberra's getting rid of some.
Now, players, some of the Bulldogs players have got to go, and there's a lot. There's a lot of players that have got to go. Todd Carney. You remember Todd Carney?
Yeah, he's been allowed in, hasn't he?
Yeah, he can come back now. Apparently Newcastle might be a good fit for him.
Yeah. But Newcastle's been pretty good in the past two or three games they've played.
Yeah, but when they get players, then you think, oh, they're going to be good. Like the Warriors. You've got a few good Warriors players inside, but they'd be crap and shit, didn't they?
Yeah, but you have to have a team which gels. You don't want a team which everyone's playing for themselves. You want everyone to play for the team.
It's very important to have teamwork, whatever you're doing, working together.
So that's all the sport?
No, it's not all the sport.
Oh, we don't want to talk about your ice dogs, do we?
Well, we do, even though they are losing at the moment.
It doesn't.
3-1.
Doesn't matter. They might do a Bradley trick.
What's the Bradley trick?
You saw Bradley, how he won the
Olympics.
The gold Olympics.
Medal. Oh, Stephen Bradbury.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
wow. Hey, he did it fair and square.
Mm.
Yep.
He really did. Yeah, he did. They had to give him the gold medal.
Yep.
They had to.
Because he kept.
Yeah, well, it was from Bradbury.
Goodbye.
Get it?
Can't hear you. I'm a bit blind.
Stephen Bradbury's from Bradbury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. I just put my glasses on now. I can hear what you're talking about.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You see, because Mick doesn't wear headphones in the studio.
No. No, it does. No. That's all the sport. For now.
What about the Broncos and... No. They're in trouble about one of the younger players said something racist to one of the St. George players today. Did you miss that?
No, been busy today.
Oh, have you doing what?
I've been busy today. Okay. And what was the story?
What was the St. George player called? He's not so much of a saint.
No, well, they're doing an internal review about the complaint and they've got to go through the complaint procedure for the NRL and the player might get sacked. Who knows?
He probably gets suspended, but there's not many games left.
Depends on what he caught him.
The C word.
That's cute. Not too bad.
Close. It depends how you take cute, Mick. I don't
know. Well, that's all you said. Close. Well, that's not too bad.
No, it's pretty bad.
They all call everyone on the pine pitch all sorts of that.
Yeah.
Hey, you're cute today. What are you doing?
Okay, well.
So, you know, they all say names and, you know.
They're in the heat of the moment, right?
You sure could have been one brother to another, probably, because it was. The Tariq Sins boys were playing against each other last night. Brothers. And one brother could have told their brother, you know.
You're cute.
You know?
Okay.
But yeah.
He says, look out for the scrums.
Yeah.
All right, so, anything else in sport?
Actually, the women's rugby championship's been on, and Australia won 29-15 the other day against Japan. So
excellent news.
It's not all the... Because of the Bundesliga Cups on tonight, later on we have South Africa and Argentina as well.
And you also forgot about the hockey.
The hockey.
Yeah, the women's hockey.
Yes.
The women's hockey. Where did they come?
Second.
They won, didn't they? They won the world title.
And they got the Rugby Union Cup as well, so that's coming up. That's
excellent.
Come good, so yeah.
A lot of sport to come.
Very, very much. Every channel for me, it's just live sports.
Views and opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or sponsors.
100.3 FM.
George Brandis, our fearless leader who knows all the laws, couldn't even get one word right. When Pauline Hanson went into bat for the people up in the Senate, George Brandis said she was wearing a religious covering. He should know more than anyone else. It's not religious. It is a cultural thing. Certain cultural things in Australia have been banned, and that should be one of them. The other ones have been banned are women's mutilation, which come from a culture, selling off or giving away, getting young children married off before they're even 13 or 14. That's another cultural thing.
But it still happens today.
Yes, but this is what's been banned, and this is why she wants the burqa ban, because it's part of the culture. It's not religious. 60 to 80% of their religions frown on that thing. They don't like it either. Just because she's a minority, that's a minority, they have to come into Australia and do what Australians' culture says. Not what their Middle Eastern culture says or where they come from. It's Australian culture, because we all have to live together.
But do you agree with what George said about having to work together?
Yeah, but having the burqa is not as part of culture. He said it was religion. It's not religion, it's culture. And culture has to be modified.
Okay, with that aside, what do you think of what she done, though?
I thought it was very good. She got her point over. Yeah. And if I would have went in there last year, people went into federal parliament with bike helmets on. And they told him to throw him out.
That's different, Mick.
No, it isn't.
It is a big difference. Who's walking into places with a bike helmet on compared to a burqa?
They all do the same thing. They cover your face up.
Yeah,
not as much as the burqa,
if you ban one, you have to ban the other. If you ban one because you can't recognise.
One's a cultural thing where once someone's just an idiot wearing a helmet walking into a shop, there's a big difference.
No, it's only both cultural. It's both cultural.
But if you're in a bikie gang, sure.
No, bikie gangs don't wear helmets generally.
But when a lot of some of that cultural thing. It's deliberately being done to make it a distinct, whereas in their own country, they're not doing it. Some are, but some are, yeah, are not doing it in their own country. They're deliberately doing it to be provocative in this culture. So that is not, you know, that it's not like this is a cultural thing to make you feel comfortable. It's a different motivation behind it to actually be doing something that is challenging the culture that's here.
Yeah, if Pauline had to...
And the law.
Yeah, if Pauline had to go into where these practices are, she would have had to wear a burqa or a full face cover, and she wouldn't be Muslim. So George Bandis said the opposite.
You are aware that in the past, the Australian government at the house down there in Canberra, they have actually pulled those people aside and asked them to remove those things, take photos of them, and then they put the burqa and that back on, and then they're allowed to get in the gallery. So they know who is who that's sitting there and so on, as opposed to not knowing. But should that continue?
No. Look, if it applies for one, it applies for all. And this is what culture, this is what our democracy is about.
But at least that shows a government trying to be considerate, trying to make allowances for something that...
That's true.
You know, it shows that it's not just like saying, you know, being dogmatic and you have to do something. But whether or not that's being received in that spirit, that's the thing.
The other thing, Ellen, was during the civil wars in the Middle East, the way people got around without being detected as a bloke, they dressed in women's clothing with their full face on them. And that's how they got out. So if that... Yep. It's a disguise. Yeah. That means anyone can come anywhere and play that they're Muslim and say it's from this sect. They could be terrorists.
Apparently that's how Saddam Hussein got out. Yep, he dressed up in the women's garb and basically walked out with a couple of other people, and Americans were out there to then find him, which they end up finding him in a hole,
that ended.
You know,
yeah,
and a big beard and everything.
Oh, you should see Mousy with his women's clothing on.
And his big beard.
Views and opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or sponsors.
100.3 FM.
All right, it is time for Peace Week. A lot's happening in the local area. Where should we...
The Sports Centre is on tracks, the Sporting of Excellence. The Campbelltown Sporting Community is invited to secure a place at the region's long-awaited Sports and Health Centre of Excellence. Now, the Campbelltown Council plans to start a construction on the $25 million facility at the Western Sydney Uni campus next year, I've said. The Council of Campbelltown Council's Director, Lisa Maxgall, said the construction would start following impression of interest process and determination of the primary occupants and approval of the final design. Now, whether it could start at the end of 2019, weather permitting, with the facility to open early 2020. Now, it will include indoor sports halls, special training units, community and athletics fitness centre, and much, much more. Campbelltown Mayor George says that the centre will address the region's need to elevate the sporting identity. So the council will hold a briefing session at the Campbelltown Civic Centre this Tuesday, August the 22nd, at 10:30 a.m. Now, to register, contact Jacqueline Spencer on 4645 4207. And for further details, go to the website, campbelltown.newsouthwales.gov.au/EOI. So there
Peter,
you go.
How much did they say it's going to cost us to get in there to do the stuff?
Oh, well, you know how much it's going to cost to the whole building?
Say you want to go in and do swimming or whatever at the sport, how much is it going to cost you?
I wouldn't know until it's all done. Then they'll have pricing and stuff like that later on.
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait till about 2020 for that one. Of course, new bridges on the residents say that there's no guardrail and risk of pedestrians. And concerned residents say a pedestrian accident on the St Andrews Bridge over the Hume Highway is imminent, but could be prevented if they had installed the guardrails over the overpass. Now, one of the residents says drives over the bridge regularly and said he had witnessed several near misses between cars and pedestrians. Not good. So, Mr. Freelander said confirmed that he had contacted concerned residents about this issue, and the road itself is quite a busy road, and I certainly share those concerns for the safety of all those who use this road and the footpath. Now, residents have enlightened safety concerns along the Raby Road after the influx of extra traffic coming from Camden's new estate. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, I think, put some guardrails up.
Peter,
save lives.
This council wouldn't even touch it for a long time.
No, they don't really do much.
They don't do very much. This is an example. Down in Glen Quarry, there was a road which had no guard, and there was a footpath with no guardrail on. They were told for 35 years. Just only about 4 years ago, they decided to move the footpath and put a guardrail up.
Mm.
See, this is how bright they are. They don't know what they're doing.
They wait. If something happens. It's like Appin Road. They haven't even done nothing on Appin Road yet, and people continue to get killed in car accidents all the time. You know, what was the promise? They were going to fix the road up years ago, and they haven't done a thing.
This is done by state government, isn't it?
Yeah, they promised this and don't promise anything, do they?
It's easier to speak words, but not to do the words.
I reckon Labor will be in next year, for sure.
I don't think they'll do much.
Dead set, Labor in next year.
And Labor won't do very much either.
That was half of the problem because of the financial situation they left last time.
Yeah. It's like the car park at Campbelltown Station. You know, and the mayor there, she said, oh, we're going to put extra park in there. Nothing's been done at all.
They have a new parking lot there.
No, but more than need to be done. So really, people at MacArthur Way are getting done bugger all. If they they say they're going to do this, but they don't. So it's the way of getting in the government. That's the problem.
And look, there's still more news about the same-sex marriage debate.
Oh, yeah, just vote yes.
In the MacArthur region, federal MPs. Sorry? Mm.
Peter's like, just vote yes. You can't say that.
Yes,
you've got
to vote yes.
But some people might want to vote yes and others might want to vote no. Others might not want to participate. But in the MacArthur region, federal MPs remain divided on the best way to decide the future of same-sex marriage in Australia. Mm. MacArthur Labor MP Mike Freelander and Hume Liberal MP Angus Taylor were responding to the federal government's plans for the postal ballot and announced last week the ballot follows the Senate rejecting the government's plan for a national debate for a second time. Mm. Now, this ballot, it be all by post, is going to cost $122 million just for this postal ballot.
Waste of money.
That's an amazing amount of money for a postal ballot.
Without having the postal ballot, the other one was going to cost $130 million.
Really?
Yep.
That's more.
What, are you talking, Mick, about the people of Australia should have... Plebiscite. Okay, all right. Well, it's also been mentioned that the government wanted to decide all this in Parliament, but Mr. Taylor said the decision belonged in the hands of the Australian people and not the politicians, and I agree with that too. It should be up to the Australian people. Mr. Taylor also said that I've always believed letting the Australian people have a say on this issue through a plebiscite, it's the most appropriate way forward. It's not really, Taylor, if it's going to cost a lot more millions of dollars. We give a lot of money away overseas. We don't keep a lot for ourselves and, you know, we're very good to the rest of the world. But what about us here?
The plebiscite is no guarantee if it gets up on the plebiscite, there's no guarantee that the politicians would vote for it.
Exactly.
If they got the yes, the Liberals most probably vote no. And that's not on. So that's a waste of $130 million straight off.
It's a big waste of money.
Yeah.
They should just...
So let them do for the government, and if there's any protest, let the protest tell their thoughts.
The Liberals are all saying yes anyway.
They can't even get their own stuff together. They've tried.
Yeah, and that's why they've decided to do the postal ballot, which is still going to cost go on, Ellen.
It's been voted in Parliament before, and a decision was made
people can't accept the decision and they keep on pushing.
Yeah,
So why can't people just accept if they want the politicians to do it and the politicians have done it, and I think more than once, if I'm from Queensland.
Like,
yes.
Yeah, you're very right there, Ellen.
They just keep on pushing.
So but you know what? They believe that if they keep pushing it, that whether people don't want it now or not, they will eventually get it through, and so then everyone has to abide by it.
This is a typical Liberal ploy, because they did it with the Republic. We had Malcolm Turnbull, who was supposed to be the leader for the Republicans to get the Republic up. John Howard out-conned him by saying, do you want politicians to set a Republic, or do you want... And that... Yeah, and that was why we lost the referendum, through sleazy, slimy... having no alternatives for the referendum, and this is what they're giving it for the...
Oh, come on, Mad Mick, don't pick on Mr. T.
Yeah, that's a bit of a thing. But
there's another stuff-up he's done.
But people need to think very carefully about what they're actually voting for when they vote for that, because people think, oh, it's just a matter of people of same sex being able to marry. No, it changes all of our society.
That's correct, it does.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Well, yep. There's going to be twice as many of that going through, and it's already clogged.
But from things already happening here in Australia, but from overseas, it's going to affect if people in their jobs, if they're a cake decorating or photography or trend, and they say, no, we don't want, this is against our beliefs, that they get taken to court, sometimes lose their business, sometimes get jailed. People have had children taken off them because they don't agree. Parents can no longer teach their children their own values. It is a massive impact on the whole of our society. It's not just a simple matter, oh, okay, we're just going to add in something else. Yeah.
I think it's going to affect most people. Religious people, because as you said, they might be against it or for it, whichever, and it might affect the business.
Well, that's right.
Remember, what religion's done is always pick the people who have got the ones, their same thoughts, and they always discriminate against the people who think different.
That's like with other people.
No, this is done all through history, all through history. The Christians did it, the Jews did it, the Muslims have done it, the Pakistanis. All religions have done it. Everyone. That's how they got rid of one of the Greek philosophers, because he said the earth did not rotate around this. Did not rotate. Yeah, the earth was not the centre of the universe. The earth was rotating around the sun. And they put him to death for that.
Yeah. But before we drift too much off the target, what we're talking about, I can understand people in a relationship wanting to have some sort of respect, I guess, in the relationship. That usually happens between the two people, whether it be male, female, or whatever however it's worked out. But going for the marriage thing, which still makes people 50-50 even, you know, I've heard a lot of things about, you know, especially from the female side of things, that, oh, you know, we don't break up, we don't have those things happen, like, you know, the different sexes and so on.
Yeah.
And I believe that to be exactly right, Steve. Yeah, it's not actually true.
Yeah.
But I just can't see how it's going to help free up the courts from all the workload that they have and so on. When they break up, there's still going to be children going to be hurt in it and so on.
Some will have children, some will not have children. But the decision is everyone's supposed to be treated equal, no matter if you're red, black, white or green.
But they have this...
Labour or Liberal, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but what happens is...
You've caught
it. First thing, if they take away these people's rights, who's the next one to follow on? Are they going to take away the people who are disabled? Are they going to take away people's right to a...
I don't think they're going to get that.
That's what they did in Germany. That's what they did in Germany.
Yeah, well, let's not get on to Germany. There's a lot of things happening there from foreigners going through there too. So let's not get on to that. But just sticking with the same-sex thing, look, it should be a decision that's handled by the people of Australia. Leave the government out of it, and $122 million, gee, that could be put to work on some of the roads around the place, and that would be eaten up very, very quickly. Why not the people concerned in this debate contact, you know, whichever MP and notify the government of what their decisions actually are? You know, why not do that? There's got to be a cheaper way to do it so it doesn't make everyone poor.
Go through Facebook and your other websites and other communications and then send it all to our parliamentarians.
Well, we'll see what happens though, Mick.
Let them get snowed under. Remember,
let them get snowed under?
Yeah. Remember, marriage by church was only after the French Revolution.
All right,
the rest of it
we're not
going to
get
in.
Into wars in this one. All right,
yeah,
moving
no
on.
War. Peace. Peace. Make love, not war.
Well, there you go. I think that's a good saying. Now, as I said in the intro, the local Campbelltown Council and I guess other councils in the southwestern region aren't going to have as much power as they previously did for planning projects, Mick. Now, apparently, any project that's going to be, well, any applications worth more than $5 million or more will need to go for an independent hearing assessment panel, not the local council or the community.
Hmm. The only thing good about that, you can't get bribes from the council. The council can't be bribed.
Do you think that's why they're doing it?
Yep.
I don't think all of them are getting bribes.
Where corruption starts is in council first. Then it spreads to federal and state.
What about,
state.
Like, police or, like,
no,
businesses?
No, I don't quite believe that, Mad Mick. I think it can start in lots of different levels of society, especially with people with businesses. They can be bribed to pick on other people in their employment just by people who think that they know what's going on and so on. They pass those comments on and it makes the boss watch someone and pick every little thing that they possibly do wrong. We're human. We're not robots.
But
okay.
Remember, how many times has Liverpool Council's been sacked?
I don't know.
And how many other councils have been sacked through corruption?
Well, there's been
that's
a lot.
The beginning. I'll tell you one
example. I don't think councils started corruption.
Councils is the beginning of the corruption in our electoral rolls.
No.
Ellen begs the difference.
Human beings are the biggest corruption. human greed, human self thing. It doesn't matter where it is. It will. Well, have
that's the beginning of corruption. Yeah. I'm not a human, I'm an alien, so I don't have...
Okay, Mick.
Views and opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or sponsors.
100.3 FM.
It is time for television news. A lot has been happening. Where should we begin?
AFL former Richmond player Jake King claims he was dumped from NITV's... immigrant footy show after being charged over alleged incident at Melbourne. He's now fighting the move in the Fair Work Commission, hoping to restrain. He goes on the show $800 a week a gig. So every time he gets on there, it's just casual now and then. He gets $800 every time he appears. And they apparently, they claim, they hired him to be on the show because he was an Indigenous person, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's not. So he's not. There you go. They pulled the pin on him because he's got charged. So maybe we'll see what happens if they reinstate him later on.
Right.
So he's only casual. So there you go.
Now a new reality program is coming to Channel 9 where people help you find your perfect home.
Another one. Oh dear.
I didn't know they could get heaven in clouds. I got my perfect home. It's in the clouds.
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
How would they
find
that?
Can they find that? Yeah, I don't know. How will they get their phone number?
Your phone number?
Yeah, if I'm in the clouds.
1-800-HEAVEN.
Call me.
Well, there you go. Is that your number, Mick?
How did he know? Has he been hacking into my computer?
Yes.
My computer.
You don't own a computer, Mick.
You should see the hacker I've been using on it.
But to be eligible, you do need, obviously, the profits to buy a new home, and they're just going to showcase it on the channel. Nothing fancy.
All right, former Heaven Away and X Factor star Johnny Raffo is undergoing treatment for brain cancer just weeks after undergoing dramatic brain surgery. Now, he posted stuff on the social media sites, and I did see it, and it was on the news actually later on. He had a scar on his forehead. Apparently, he was getting all these migraines. He didn't know what was wrong with him, and he went and got tested and had an operation, and now he's got He's got a treatment now for brain cancer. So, ooh. Johnny Ruff, I hope you get well soon, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, that's from all of us, mate.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Great singer and an actor as well.
Now, one of the best animated series is making a comeback.
Yeah, the Jetsons. I hope there's still lots of people out there that can remember the animated cartoon of the Jetsons. It was always great. They had a great intro and a really good outro on it, which we'll do the outro on the end of this little bit. But
the music sounds like The Simpsons.
Yeah, maybe The Simpsons got inspiration from it.
But there's actually now going to be a live-action Jetsons reboot, and it's proceeding with the ABC in the US, and the pilot is to be filmed as a traditional multi-camera action sitcom. Jane, get me off this thing!
What they mean by multi-camera, there's more than one camera taking the shots.
Yeah, which so there is money in that.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Peter, what do you got there?
I have, well, Foxtel and Fox Sports. Now, of course, Fox Sports News went together with Sky News, Shed's Home Studios. Yes. Now, Foxtel and Fox Sports are going together into one single company. News Corp and Telstra have announced that they will completely be owned. Fox Sports will completely be owned by News Corp, while Telstra and Foxtel currently share ownership of Foxtel. Under their merger plans, which could be completed in the first half of 2018, News Corp will have a 65% stake in the new company and Telstra 35%, but the deal will not be approved just yet. So, a lot of things happening there.
Have to wait and see. Now, yesterday was Laurie Oakes' last day.
He did, yes.
He's done.
Done and dusted.
What does he do now?
Retire.
No, he'll still work.
Go to community radio.
No, he's got better things.
I'm Laurie Oakes' camera.
We could use him here.
He can read our news.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm camera.
Did you watch it? Was it on TV? It wasn't on TV.
No, it wasn't on TV. They had to get together in the...
That's not nice. They were at Parliament House, weren't they? He was in the...
In the
gallery?
No, it was in the office.
Oh.
They had to get together.
That's boring. You wanted to be on TV, right?
No.
I don't know. Were you a fan of Laurie Oakes?
Not really.
Anyone here a fan of Laurie Oakes? I'm going to take that as a no.
Yeah, I am.
I'm Peter Harvey.
He actually lost a lot of weight.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
he did actually.
He was very heavy, and he was either threatened with that he was going to have a heart attack or something, which could take his life. Yes. And he did something about it, which some of us don't do.
Yes.
And he actually went and lost some weight, and he looks really good for it.
He does.
He should feel proud.
Oh, I thought you said he lost his wife.
Wife.
Oh. Well, that's not nice.
Clean your ears out, Mick.
He's very professional. That's
yes, in his job. Mm.
Well, see, but he leaked that footage of Turnbull telling the joke about Trump. I don't think that's very professional. I wasn't either. That's just my opinion, though.
Yeah, but not.
He won't be doing that again.
Well, no, he can't do it again.
He could sneak in.
Well, no, he's not a reporter anymore.
Oh, they'll let him in.
Or journalist.
Doesn't matter. They might let him in. He could be a life member of...
life member of the gallery.
Of the gallery, yeah.
The press gallery.
Press gallery. Life member of the press gallery.
You should have to pay $1 a year.
Come in and film whatever you like.
No, he doesn't actually film anything, though.
Views and opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or sponsors. 100.3
FM. Welcome back to Saturday Night Live. You're here with Peter, Ellen, Tony, Mick and Steve.
G'day.
Full house, everyone.
Full house, yes.
G'day.
Yes, yes. And at least I'm not full, so I can't have a full.
You're not full.
Yeah.
People might think you're full of stuff, Mick. But
yeah, it could be right.
Depends who you ask.
Full of hot air.
Full of hot air. Okay, we'll go with that.
I'll be a balloon.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for Mad Mick Presents. Mick, what do you have this half hour?
I saw on an interview with the member who is in charge of our public transport. And he was talking about all these new transport modes for our Northwest and all the other places. It's going to end up like China or Hong Kong. This is the word he said. It'll be like China or Hong Kong. So we're going to have so many people in our cities that we won't be able to scratch ourselves. We're going to be like Hong Kong or China or India. That's just what he said. He doesn't give a damn about it.
Wait, what's wrong with Andrew Constance?
Andrew Constance? Well, I don't want to have I want to have room to move.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I want to have room to move, not him or his mob telling us how many people should live in a house or whatever.
I don't think he's telling people that.
He's building it up too. He said it'll be like China, it'll be like Hong Kong.
He's not going to say, sorry, Mick, there's not enough people, there's not enough room on the streets, people are going to have to move into your house.
Yeah, Mick.
No, but that's what he said. He said, I didn't say move into my house. He said he's making it look like China or India. All these multi-story buildings with heaps of people
he's
in.
He's just saying because of the apartments. There's a lot of apartments, right?
Yeah, and that's going, what's going to cause? It's going to cause chaos.
Overpopulation, of course, but...
And Dick Smith have brought
in a
new
ad. Oh, Dick Smith's another one. Him and Pauline are teaming up.
Bevan?
Him and Pauline are teaming up, I hear.
I hope so.
Why?
Of course, Dick Smith is talking about how there is no such thing as an England's growth. Everything fails when it gets to a certain size. And now we're seeing the consequences of our peak growth.
Do you think he's just upset because his company...
No, he didn't have his company for... He sold it about 10 or 15 years ago. It wasn't his... So that doesn't matter.
I guess so.
But he's talking about growth. China did it in the 60s and 70s and 80s, and they said, if we cut down the population, made it one person have, one family have one person, have cut the population by half in 20 or 30 years.
Well, wasn't it Japan that actually put a limit on children being born?
No, China.
China, was it? Yeah, you're only supposed to have one. But there was a lot of skullduggery, let's say, going on about that. But... What? Could that really happen in Australia?
No.
A limit of one child per family?
I hope it would do. Yeah, I would like to see
You can't implement something like that. That's wrong.
No.
Say one child per family.
Are you saying the rest of the people who have one child can't... If you have more than one child, that's spreading the...
That's nothing wrong with having more than one child.
Yes, it is, because if you can't afford it...
Well, yeah, obviously...
We can't afford it in land. We can't afford it in water. We can't afford it in the way the land, way climate's going, we might not even be existing in 20 years' time.
If you can't afford it, you don't have the living to house the other child, you probably shouldn't have another kid.
No, the afford means, can the society afford it? Can the environment afford it?
I don't think people are thinking about the society and the environment when they're, you know, reproducing a child.
There was a story on Star Trek one time where uncontrollable growth was out of control. And these people were living on a planet side by side and had to wipe half of them out to get room.
Right.
And this is what can happen to us if we have too many people living in the world.
Or like that Twilight Zone episode where they were getting rid of all the people that weren't needed anymore just because of the population. Or maybe it'll be like Children of the Corn where all the kids get rid of the parents.
Yeah, Children of the Corn. That was an interesting show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or Sylvan Green.
Yeah, Soylent Green, yes. Yes, that's when you never run out of food, you could say. But is that really something that could really happen here?
No.
I don't mean the Soylent Green. I mean the limit of children. We do have new Australians here, and they have at least 10 children. So somehow they can afford it. Why can't the rest of us?
Yeah, Mick.
We don't do crime.
Well, that's not fair, saying that they are into crime.
I don't think they are, but no one's into crime. I don't think.
I'm into crime.
Yeah, but you're a bad boy, Mick.
Yeah, I'm a bad boy. So all you good girls out there, come and see me.
You're a catch, Mick.
He's a real chick magnet.
He is a real chick magnet. All right, Mick, what else would you like to say?
About population growth and what Dick Smith was talking about is true. If you can't get enough, the stupid thing about it, everyone's putting it on, technology will save us. If technology doesn't happen, we are dead.
It's not really down to the technology side. It really does come down to we need more dams, not only in Australia itself, but especially in New South Wales. We need much more food production instead of buying so much food from overseas, and it does not get checked out anywhere near as much as what Australian food does. This is why people get sick, and, you know, I guess there's a big resulting in that that I'll leave up to people to think of themselves.
When I was a farmer on my farm, we had to work out how many people or how many animals you could carry, sustain on a farm when it's drought.
Yes.
We are not doing that as a Australia should be doing it as an invoice of finding out how many people can live in Australia in bad times. And droughts are coming up pretty quickly now. Mm-hmm. We're going to lose a lot of water and there'll be a lot of problems. The rest of the world are going to have the same problem, lack of clean drinking water. So there'll be wars fought over that. And if we keep destroying our land, we won't have enough water to feed our, to water ourselves and feed our land to grow food.
Aren't the dam levels lowering as it is?
The dam, it doesn't matter about dam levels because a lot of there'll be a lot of resistance. It'll be
but
a lot of resistance
that as an excuse
to dams.
So much, man.
There's a lot of resistance to dams now, and what dams create a lot of methane, which is a greenhouse gas when they bury or cover the places they do with all the green vegetable matter, which breaks down into methane. So we're creating more methane.
How can you say the dams don't matter? They do play an important part.
Yeah, they do. A very important
but
part.
There's not a very big... There's not very many places we can have dams anymore. Where we've got them now is all we're going to get. And remember, the dam on the Wollongong thing has been there. The resources from pulling out the coal has broken the reservoir's storage capacity.
How
so
does that
now,
cause it?
I think it's not even filling up in all this rain.
Right.
And they broke the through coal mining. They broke the Georges River bed back, so the water runs down the drain. So these practices of what we're doing is destroying our water resources. Coal mining, gas, tapping gas, is still doing damage to the land. The Aborigines had the right way. Look after the land and it looks after you. Don't. As soon as you damage the land, it won't look after you.
Yeah. Actually, he's very right there, because when the Aboriginals actually burned off a section there for the animals to come out, they were wandering people. They needed food. They needed water. They would then cultivate the particular animals that came out, and they were able to move around whatever areas that they liked to move around. But by regenerating the ground like they did in their burning off the grasses and whatever for the animals to come out, it regenerated. It also brought new animals back to it, and there was food there to eat for the new animals. We're not doing that in any sort of capacity, so there's enough for us here.
Why do you think we're not doing that?
I don't know,
are
but I like burning grass.
Or?
I like burning grass.
Do you? Well, you probably shouldn't burn grass. At least not before the program.
Definitely not before the program.
No, no, no. What do you think of this, Ellen?
Not too much I can comment on that, except that I know that some years ago, when the climate experts were predicting that, you know, we would not have enough water, the dams would not be full again, and I'm a particular Christian minister, and had from knowledge that God had said Warragamba in a couple of years' time would be full to overflowing. Which one was right?
But it's also been down to nearly empty as well.
No, but there was predicted by the climate thing that it would not be full again. We would never be full again. How many times in the last few years, has Warragamba Dam been full?
Well, he's actually been right, but he is actually wrong as well, Ellen. The government put an embargo thing on any of the media actually saying just how full Warragamba is.
Right.
I can remember it being said it was like 70% full, and I went with a few friends. We went and had a picnic at Warragamba. I'm saying Warragamba because it's the only one I'm talking about at the moment, and it was actually so close to overflowing. You couldn't actually believe that. Why are they saying it's only 70%? Is it supposed to be a scare to everyone or what? But there's actually a dam over Brookvale Way, Brookvale DY, and it's full. It's usually full a lot, and it's not hooked up to the Sydney system. It doesn't even put water in for around Brookvale and DY. Why is this? If some people can look into it, maybe they can raise it, that subject. Why is all that water just sitting there?
Sounds like a waste.
It is. It is an absolute waste.
It might be for the wildlife.
Okay.
A whole dam just for wildlife?
Yes.
Would that cover that much area, though?
Yep.
Okay.
Because you got all the things that fit into the dam. You got all your rivulets or tributaries. You got all your forest and all that. And there's a lot of animals living around there.
Yeah, that's true. Wow, okay. Jeez.
Views and opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or sponsors.
100.3 FM.
Now, before we go for another week, we have to talk movies. Did anyone see any movies?
Yeah, but I can't remember them.
Okay, that's a very popular one, Mick. However, last week we gave Tony some homework.
Because
James Bond was a hot topic last week. We asked him to do his research, find out his favourite James Bond movies as much as he can. And he did that.
I did, actually.
With the help of Peter, though.
Well, we won't mention Peter in it, just
Peter,
for now.
Peter gets no credit.
I can say that there's been at least 25
yep.
James Bond movies. I actually feel that there's been 26. There's a huge rumour, and I can't get a lot of confirmation of it. There was actually a James Bond movie made before 1962, and it did not have Sean Connery in it. It was somebody else. But the first one was made in 1962, the official one, and it was Dr. No. And my favourite, I've got two or three favourites in these, The Spy Who Loved Me, Moonraker, and For Your Eyes Only, and Live and Let Die.
Yes.
They're my favourites.
Live and Let Die is very good.
Yeah, very, very good. Very well produced. The action in it is really all spot on. But there's actually an extra movie that hasn't been really taken into the core of proper James Bond. And that was the Sean Connery one that he came back with after saying he was never, ever going to do anything again like that.
Until the money's
and
right.
It was called... Sorry?
Till the money is right.
Well, I guess till the money was right, and you had to have a hairpiece put in and all sorts of things like that. Never say never again. And so, yes.
That's after he said never again.
Well, that's what the movie was called.
I think that's why they named it, honestly.
It starred Sean Connery. And there was actually plenty of action in that as well. It's a good movie.
They're going to bring out a new Never Say Never, and it's been played by Daniel...
Craig.
Well,
he is back.
Because he said never or never either.
I know, but he signed on again. The money was right, man.
So they must be going to bring the same movie, Never Say Never.
They might.
Now, notice in your...
We actually had an Australian doing it as well, George Lazenby.
That's right, only one time.
Only one time. There was rumours that he was very, very difficult to work with, and it's probably why he hasn't been in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was actually in an Australian movie, a similar sort of way to James Bond. The name escapes
Man
me at the moment.
Man from Hong Kong.
No.
No. I don't think
that... No, George Lazenby's the actor.
It was in Man from Hong Kong, George
Was
Lazenby?
It? Okay. Yeah. It was all filmed in Australia, and there's a big hang gliding scene in the very close to the beginning
that's
of it.
Man from Hong
and
Kong.
So on.
Wow, okay. That's a real movie, The Man from Hong Kong. Because last week you said the James Bond movie was The Man from Hong Kong.
Yeah.
But he played in Man from Hong Kong. He played in
Well, George Lazenby did, yeah. Yes, and he played a very similar part to Bond. You know. So, yeah.
I noticed in your list, Mick's favourite movie, James Bond, wasn't on there.
What is your favourite movie in James Bond, Mick?
They're all boring.
Okay, well, there you go.
I don't like James Bond.
Okay, well, what do you like, Mick?
Growing grass. That's right, growing grass, that's so.
No, I meant movie.
That's not actually a movie, though.
Mick's favourite movie is Super High Me, I think. But which is a spin-off of Super Size Me, you know that McDonald's documentary?
Yeah, Super Size Me, yeah.
But they made one about grass.
Did they? That's all right. Yeah. What style of grass was it? Cooch or...
I don't know the type of brand of it.
Cooch or...
I'm not going to...
Buffalo
or could be something other.
All right, no more brands. Anyway, that's it for movies.
Watch out for buffalo grass.
Or Kaikiri.
Yeah, buffaloes might attack you. Okay, that's it for movies.
Views and opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or sponsors.
100.3 FM.
That's it for the program. We are done.
Done like a dinner.
Ellen, thank you so much for joining us. Would you like to say anything?
No, it's been good fun as always to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How much are we paying to say that?
Nothing. We'll make you a coffee, maybe, or a tea. That's it. We'll see you next week. Glenn will be back next week.
We'll be back next week.
Don't forget you can download a podcast version of SaturdayNightLive.com.au.